As is true every day, so it is today. We have so much to be thankful for. The clouds have lifted, the sun is shining through, and we have a glorious day to meet together and worship to God. And I'm so glad to see you here this morning, especially our visitors. We are so very graced by your presence. We read an interesting passage this morning that includes two ideas that sometimes for some people seem somewhat disparate. They don't seem to go together. Paul begins the chapter, 2 Corinthians 5, by referring to what we know. He doesn't say we wish, we suspect, we might have an imagination. He says we know that if this earthly house, this tent, be destroyed, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So Paul's talking about something he knows, something we can know and be assured of. And yet, just a few verses later in verse 7, as Paul separates these two ideas, the first of being absent from the Lord and at home with the body, or being absent from the body and home with the Lord, which Paul says he would have pleasure with and confidence of, in the midst of those two verses, those two ideas, Paul says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And so we might ask the question, well, which is it, Paul? Is it knowledge, something you know? Or is it faith, something you believe? Because after all, he said, we know in verse 1, and yet we walk by faith in the same context, on the same subject. We walk by faith, not by sight. And these two ideas, faith and knowledge, they're both central and integral to our Christian experience. I think we realize that. We can't do away or we can't live apart from either one of them. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him, God, in Hebrews chapter 11. In a similar passage in Romans chapter 1, quoting from Habakkuk, you have Paul saying, the just shall live by faith. And so there is no doubt that faith is not just an aspect of our life in Christ. It is fundamental to it. We live by it. We walk by it. It consumes everything that is about us and about our Christian walk. And yet, at the same time, the Bible encourages us to grow in knowledge. In fact, that's the same language Peter uses in the last verse of his second epistle. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And earlier, he's reminded his reader in the first chapter of that book of 2 Peter that we should add as Christians to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And didn't Jesus say in John 8:32, you shall know the truth shall make you free? And so which is it? Is it faith or knowledge? Which is more important and perhaps of higher importance? Which comes first? Or is it a chicken and egg kind of a question? Which is not really a chicken and egg question, because we've got the answer to that one. It was the chicken. But back to the knowledge and faith question, which comes first? Well, before dealing with that, let me take us down a couple of roads which are false ways to go. Some people bring them together by, instead of seeing a knowledge born of faith or faith growing from knowledge, instead see a faith in knowledge itself. Those who are comfortable in what they know. Now the problem is, and truth, you've probably already figured this out already this morning, You might be thinking, well, faith in what? And knowledge of what? Because if I'm all in on faith and knowledge, I have to know what we're talking about. And you're exactly right there. It is important that we know what we believe, not just that we believe. We have to know that what we know is really true and not just ideas we have in our mind. And that's one of the problems with having a faith in knowledge. Is the knowledge really knowledge? I think it was Mark Twain that said, it ain't what you don't know that gets you in trouble, it's what you're absolutely sure of that just ain't true. A lot of the knowledge being passed around these days in the world, in the culture, in religious circles, is not true, is not factual, is not real. And so some people have a deep, abiding faith in a knowledge base that's not even knowledge-based, not even true, not even real, not even factual. And if you believe something that's not true, you've wasted your faith. More than wasted, you've gone in the wrong direction. But the Bible speaks of those who are always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Those who with such belief in and confidence in their own intellectual acumen that they see the cross itself as nothing but foolishness. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Well, then when you have a faith, a deep faith in knowledge itself, you're setting yourself up for a world of hurt. Because you may be knowing some things that aren't true, and even if they are true, you're basing your faith in your knowledge and not in the substance of what you're believing. It's one thing to accumulate facts, but it's something else to live by those facts and be able to apply those facts. In any subject, the rubber meets the road when facts learned are facts applied. Things learned are things done. And it's not enough just to have faith in the fact you know them. You've got to put them into practice. And I think in terms of our Christian walk, sometimes we have a deep faith in all that we know, not realizing that that knowledge itself means nothing if not put to practice. You might remember James in James 1 talking about those who are hearers of the word and not doers. They know it, but they won't perform it. And he likened them to people who look into a glass or a mirror and they see themselves and they walk away and forget what they saw. If we just know the truth but don't live the truth, and base our faith in that knowledge, if nothing ever comes from it, we're not changed. The truth is there to change us, not just to fill up our minds with facts and things we've learned. And I'm all for learning. I'm all for studying. I'm all for reading the Bible. We encourage that from here often. And yet we've got to take that next step past there to really grow. If your faith is just in what you know, even if what you know is true, if you don't act on it, do something with it, move past just the knowledge, it doesn't mean much. And a life lived by faith is not just a life where you know some things. It's a life where you think a certain way and act a certain way. You become a certain thing. You have the very mind of Christ. But along with this false idea of believing in the concept of knowledge itself, there is another false narrative, and that is the idea of putting the two in competition with one another, saying it's a matter of either or. You can have faith or you can have knowledge. You can't have both, as this idea goes. And so I'll stick to my facts, and you can believe what you want. You've got your faith, I've got my knowledge. The trouble with that is it leads to the idea of I'll believe it when I see it. Do you remember a man in the Bible named Thomas, whom we've labeled him, the Bible doesn't use this word with him as an adjective, but we call him Doubting Thomas. I've always felt sorry for Thomas because this one time in his life seems to blemish everything we remember about the man. And if truth be told, if we were in the exact same situation he was in, I wonder if we had done any differently than he did. It's the day of resurrection. Christ is now risen from the dead. He is seen by a number of his disciples early on and later on. That night, in fact, the evening of the resurrection, the first Lord's Day evening service. Here Jesus is with his apostles, except for Judas, of course, who's gone his own way and done his own thing, and except for Thomas, who's not there for reasons we're not told. And after the meeting is held and the week continues, the apostles now have Thomas with them, and they tell him what they've seen. They tell him what they know. This Jesus, whom they've lived under the tutelage of for some time, they've learned from him for some years, he's been killed, he's been buried, and his body has been raised, and he's up and walking around. They know it. They've seen him. Thomas wasn't there. So Thomas becomes Doubting Thomas. Oh, unless I can put my fingers upon his hands and feel the nail prints. Until and unless I can put my hand into the wound in his side where the sword was thrust, until then I'm not going to believe. Well, the days continue until the next first day of the week, the next Lord's Day. In the reckoning of time, as they looked at it then, the Bible uses the words 8 days later. And here they are again. The Lord with all of his apostles. This time Thomas is there. And Jesus knows. No doubt because he's been told, but also he knows what is in man. He knows about Thomas's doubt. He motions Thomas over to him. Come over here and feel my nail prints in my hands. Here, put your hand in my side where the sword was thrust. And we have no mention in the Bible or even intimation that he ever does that. Christ gives him opportunity, and his response is what ours would have been: my Lord and my God. He believes because he's seen. And then Jesus makes a larger point from that and from him. Blessed are you. You have seen and you believe. But blessed are they that will not see and yet will believe on me. That's us. That's you and that's me. But Thomas had this idea that it was either knowing something by seeing it or it was believing it. And he wasn't going to believe unless he had his sight that gave him knowledge. First-hand evidence. If that were the case, if that were required of every one of us, none of us would be a believer. We'd all be doubters to this day because none of us have had the opportunity Thomas had of actually seeing the nail prints with our eyes and the wound in his side of our Lord. We believe because of their testimony, because of Thomas's words here, because of the Bible record. But this idea is still very prevalent, the idea that, well, you've got your faith, but I've got my knowledge. Well, no, that's not the way it is at all. Our faith is evidence-based, but it concerns the fact of knowing things that are beyond sight, which brings us back to our passage. When Paul says we walk by faith and not by sight, he does not say we walk by faith and not by knowledge. It's very clear in the text he uses the terms almost synonymously. We know, verse 1. We walk by faith, verse 7. We walk by faith, not by sight, though. There are a number of things we believe and we know that we have not seen. I've been blessed in my lifetime to have visited a number of wonderful places across our nation and around the globe. But a lot of places, most places, I haven't been. Most places, I never will be. I never have been to Italy. I've seen pictures. I've heard accounts. I've known people who've been there. Wonderful things about it. I hear if you like to eat, that's the place to go. But what if I were to say, you know what, I haven't seen it. I haven't been there. I don't believe there is an Italy. In fact, you're wrong if you say you know there is, because unless you've been there, you can't speak to the subject. And you'd say, well, Brother Key, that's ridiculous. That's not even up for debate. We know there's an Italy because we have overwhelming evidence, not just the pictures of the place and facts about the place, but evidence of people who've been to the place. And all of that builds a mountain of evidence which proves that, yes, you have a right to believe in a place like Italy and know it exists, even though you haven't seen it. Well, the same is true with our faith and everything the Bible teaches. Everything God lays down in terms of truth. We haven't seen God. We believe He exists, and we know He exists. We haven't seen our own spirits within us, but we know we have spirits. We know that we are spirit beings because God says so, and God cannot lie. We know Jesus Christ, His Son, came and lived and died as a sacrifice for us. We know there's a heaven and a hell beyond this realm, beyond this life, and a judgment day. We know all of that. We believe all of that, even though so far we haven't seen any of it with our eyes. And why? And the answer is in the question as to which comes first. Now, you might have reasons for the other way, and I'll entertain those if you want to talk to me later about it, but I've come to believe that our knowledge is born of our faith rather than our faith growing from our knowledge. And the reason for that is, if faith is built upon the knowledge, there's a certain faith in the knowledge being true, which brings you back to faith again. But actually, the question is answered, I think, biblically in another passage in Hebrews 11. Now, if I ask you, what's in Hebrews chapter 11, you'll tell me it's the great chapter about faith. It starts with the words, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the conviction, the assurance of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And then notice this next. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Notice the apostle's language here. By faith, we understand. And that word understand is a synonym for this idea of knowledge and the word know. Something we have conviction mentally of, assurance in our minds of, an understanding of the concept of. We know it. And where is that knowledge? It comes from this root of faith. By faith, we understand. And why? Because God said so. We have evidence. God exists. His word is true, and everything we hold dear in Scripture plays out as fact. That is faith we have that then tempers everything else we take by knowledge. We know the truth is a truth. We know right and wrong, or as the Bible says, they are. We know heaven is real. We know hell is real. We know our spirits are real because the Bible says they are, because God says they are, and our faith is in Him. And because of that faith, we can absolutely be assured of the knowledge we have of everything we hold dear. And so because, back to our text in 2 Corinthians 5, because we walk by faith and not by sight, because of that, we know that if the earthly house, this tent, be destroyed, we have a building of God. We have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We know that because we walk by faith, a faith that trusts what God has said. And as is sometimes said, you can take that to the bank. If you're here this morning and outside of Christ, know that heaven is prepared for you. God's promises are yours if you'll come to Him and give your life to Him in gospel obedience. Or perhaps you've started your Christian walk but walked away from that, need to come back. What better time than now to make things right? If you need to come, do so now as together we stand and sing.